It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our August edition of Laker Hockey Talk. Bill Crawford along with Damon Witten, the head coach of the Lakers. And on Tuesday, Damon, it was announced that Zach Cizik, most recently from Notre Dame as a student assistant coach. He's also been at Miami University for a couple of seasons and is a graduate of Michigan State University, which is no surprise. And goaltender, good background. Jeff Jackson talks about him very glowingly. In fact, Jeff told me just yesterday that he thinks what we've hired here is him from 40 years ago. This Zach's the latest edition of Jeff Jackson. He's a former goaltender, third stringer, didn't play a lot at Michigan State, from suburban Detroit. Learned the craft coaching in junior a little bit and now is trying to make his way into college hockey. He says you got Jeff Jackson on your hands and he'll do a great job.
There's no question. If you have a chance to hire a guy like Jeff Jackson, anybody would do it. So that's certainly high praise. And, you know, that was certainly part of the process is Jeff's input. Not so much as a former, Lake State head coach and a legend up here, but as a legend in college hockey and as a great developer of talent, not only on the ice, but Jeff for years has done a really good job of bringing in guys and developing them as coaches, and so that went a long way. So there's no question Zach is extremely prepared, spending a couple of years with Coach Blase at Miami and that staff, longtime assistant Brent Brecky. Zach worked closely with Brent and the things that went on, in Brent's whole career, Nick Petraglia there, and then certainly the transition to Notre Dame was a big step and great for Zach. And the Miami staff even talked about it this summer between Zach's first year to second year. It was just an amazing transformation where things just really clicked for Zach and took a big step forward in terms of his preparation to become an assistant coach or a coach at the college level. And then again, anytime you get a chance to spend with Jeff, and his preparation for guys is again just off the charts. His organization, the way he structures his program, you learn a ton. And I thought Jeff, one of the things Coach Jackson talked about was, I think he went on for the first ever goalie practice of the season, he stepped on the ice with Zach and with their goalies and watched Zach get to work the one time and said, okay, I'm done, they're yours, and never stepped back foot on the ice with him and the goalies. And so again, very prepared. He's got a great plan in place for our goaltenders already. He spent a little bit of time talking to them already, even with the announcement just a couple days ago, but he knows exactly what he's going to do on a daily basis with more than just the goalies, but that's certainly a big part of it. And I think it's an area we can be really, really strong in. We're returning Nick, Merricks, and Roman. A chance, all three of those guys to really take a big step in development and be among the league and national leaders with their ability and with that daily attention. So just a lot of really positive things. And again, I think it culminated in his time at Notre Dame, but he's been preparing it for a lot of years, like you said. We've gotten to know him over the last couple of years. Part of what Zach's done a really good job. A lot of interest. I mean, it's not easy to get into college hockey. It's a very competitive position. It's very difficult to get in. And so we had guys with a ton of pro experience, a lot of college guys, Division III guys, ton of guys out of junior hockey that was really wanted this opportunity. And so a lot of guys went through it. But one thing that separated Zach from one of the things, at least, was his commitment to trying to build his recruiting base. The last couple summers, Zach has volunteered up here at our Bantam camps and largely responsible with evaluating the goaltenders. But again, he watched everything. He was putting reports in on players and ranking forwards and defensemen as well. So again, he just kind of went way above and beyond what a lot of kids do because NCAA rules did not allow him to recruit as a volunteer coach the last couple of years. So summertime with USA Hockey, Maha, things like that, that's the only time guys like him can get out there and recruit. And he's done a tremendous job getting out there, getting that experience. He was a coach and evaluator at Buffalo this year at the National Festival. The last couple of years, he's also worked the Strelo National Goaltending Camp. All the best goalies in the country from a variety of age groups are in Plymouth right now, and Zach's on that staff with a ton of great guys from NHL. college, junior hockey are all in Plymouth right now, developing the best goalies in the nation. And Zach's learned a ton from that. It's got great contacts going out. So, you know, really excited. You know, very organized, a very intelligent guy. As Jeff said, it's a mini Jeff Jackson. The preparation, the organization, the mind for the game are all very, very good. And I think it's a really great addition to our staff.
Yeah, he's an interesting young guy. Again, we say he's out of suburban Detroit. He played at Michigan State. He did not play much. He was a third string goaltender. And I think he's one of those kind of guys who probably knew early that the coaching maybe was going to be his avenue in life, and started absorbing a lot of stuff, started learning, taking on as much as he could. As you say, he likes to volunteer to do things. I guess the big question on him would be, how difficult will it be for him to jump right into recruiting? Because he's going to have to do that. He and Mike are going to have to go out and find talent for this team for the future. Sounds to me like he's pretty sharp, though, and he's going to have those sort of people skills you got to have to meet people and talk to players and be very good at it.
Yeah, and then, you know, that's another thing. He's got a psychology background as well. I believe his undergrad degree is in psychology, and his master's might be more of a sports administration. But, you know, Paul Pooley, one of Jeff's assistants, talked a lot about that as well. You know, Zach was one of those guys that when Jeff or Paul couldn't reach a player, they turned to Zach to find a way to, you know, kind of get in deep. And we all have players like that. You know, on every team, there's always a couple guys that are just, you know, really tough to reach, to open up to be vulnerable with. And so that psychology background is a part of what's going to allow him to quickly build relationships and get on the road and build his network up. So he's got some things in place, but that will be a bit of a work in progress. But again, I'm glad he's been out to Buffalo. He's been up to our Maha camp. He has a real good feel for what the elite players in the state of Michigan, in the country, are all about. And it won't be long before he's on the road. He'll be shoving off out to some of the Ontario rinks in just a few short weeks. As soon as he wraps up Strelo this weekend, or this Friday, he'll get right up into town, and then he'll be in town for a week or two before that crazy September and late August recruiting season kicks in, and we'll send him right out the door and hit the road hard. The other part of that is, Bill, as you kind of know, and as some of the people who follow recruiting closely, we don't have a lot of needs on paper for right. next year and for a couple of years down the road. You know, we talked a little bit last show about who we anticipate coming in and some of the guys maybe returning. We're getting some of those deferral letters from players that have chosen to go back and play another year. And, you know, on paper, we don't have a lot of losses. We'll obviously have a handful of 20-year-old forwards that'll have to come in, and one or two other guys that will be over ready. We have three senior forwards with Cuglietta, Nellis, and Terrell who will graduate. And then Nick Kossoff, I believe, is our only other graduation. Now, as we see, you know, there'll be some pro signing opportunities, maybe some guys who aren't happy with their role. I mean, that seems to be more and more guys leaving. But on paper, we returned the majority of our team, and we felt like Zach could come in and, you know, learn some of the ropes a little bit, go see the players we already have committed, and get a feel for what we're looking to do.
Yeah, again, we are talking about Zach Sizek, who is the new assistant coach, Lake Superior State. He's replacing Rich Mitro, who left for a job out in Minnesota as a head coach. And so Zach will join Mike York and Damon Witten as the Lakers coaching staff. And again, he's a youngster. He graduated at Michigan State in 2015. He was an assistant coach for a couple of years with Rico Blasi at Miami University in Oxford, Ohio. And last season was a volunteer student coach for Notre Dame with Jeff Jackson and Paul Pooley and Andy Slaggart, all of whom speak very highly of this young guy. And I think you've got a good one, Damon. He looks like he's going to be a really good Laker, and he seems really excited to come and be part of Lake Superior State's tradition.
Well, I can't wait. You know, and that's a piece of the puzzle. You know, you want that hunger, you want that drive. You know, he's a guy that puts in the hours. You know, and I think that's in our sport, in this profession, you have to grind. Actually, reading a new book last night by Craig Custis, and he's got some time with Mike Babcock, and just talking about how you have to love the grind. If you're not passionate about what you do and willing to put the time in, then you know, you're not going to be successful in any walk of life, and you know, more so in the world we're in. It's so competitive. It demands so much of your attention and your time that, you know, you have to be willing to grind and get after it, and Zach has shown those things, and I know it'll be a good fit that way. So yeah, I think there's a, you know, excitement among Mike and myself and our staff, but also the players. Nick Kossoff's back in town, and I know Nick is excited about that addition and having that daily attention. You know, part of the process too. When it started, we weren't really going down the route of necessarily looking for a goalie-specific guy. But then just as the process continued on, to me, it became a little bit more apparent and important about having that daily basis. And Pete Aubrey, who was with us in year one before getting hired by the Chicago Blackhawks, Pete talked about it. And they had an older goalie in Rockford in the American Hockey League with him. He got called up, won his first game with the Blackhawks this year. And he talked about what an impact having Pete Aubrey there every single day was. As a, you know, an 8 or 10 year pro, this is a former Hockey Canada World Junior goaltender and in a high draft pick. He never had a goalie guy with him, a goalie coach with him on a daily basis. And he thought that just made all the world of a difference in his career and his ability to be prepared. And, you know, and I see that with our team. I think Nick Merricks and Roman are going to, really thrive with this daily attention and Zach's organization, and I think it can pay huge dividends from day one.
Yeah, let's hope that that's the way it works out. We've got veteran goaltenders here, and that could be really strong with a goaltending coach who's around all the time. Let's switch to some of the players who are coming in this season. We talk about them every one of these shows this summer, but people want to know what's going on with that. We've got a lot of new guys, 8 or 9 newcomers coming in this year. I'm not sure whether everybody he's coming, and I guess that's the question. Are they all through the clearinghouse? Are they all ready to go? Can all of them play, or are there some difficulties there that we're still working on? And if so, who might be in jeopardy here of not being able to play right away?
Yeah, no, we anticipate everybody, you know, showing up. It's only a couple days away in the freshman report for orientation, and a little bit of a unique group where really Ashton Calder is the only guy with, you know, real close ties. So there's guys coming from all over the world in this day and age. And so, you know, their travel plans are in place, and guys will be coming in, you know, real quickly here the next couple days. You know, I'm sorry, a week and a half out, I guess it would be. And some other returners that are trickled back into town and are making their way back as well. So we do anticipate that full slate of guys showing up. I think we're ahead of the process in terms of getting our European players cleared and I-20s and some of the visa process that can be a bit of a hiccup at times. And, you know, still really got one NCAA issue we're working on with one of the guys. But, no, we're excited about this group. And, again, we didn't have a lot of losses in terms of some of our top defensemen and our top scorers are only one senior forward. So it'll be a real deep group, a real competitive group. And, you know, I think that's really exciting because I think we've lacked that at times over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I know you're pretty happy with what how things look on the blue line. You've got 5 returners there, and a couple of them are really good players. They proved that last year. You got Steven Ruggiero back along with Colin Sackelman. Lucas Keibel coming back from Germany. Will Rydell saw a lot of ice action last year. And Tyler Anderson, we talked about him last show. What a great jump he made from the first time he played for the Lakers last fall to the end of the season. He made big strides, and I think we can expect a lot from him. And you're going to add to that. You're going to add 3 freshmen coming in on defense, Jacob Nordquist out of Sweden, Mitch Oliver, and Alex Samandel. And you're high on all 3 of them.
Yeah, no, they can play. You know, each guy brings a little bit, you know, different abilities and different skill sets, but they were brought in to play and to add competition. It's going to be pretty fierce because, as you said, the returners, you know, those are 5 of our top 6 defensemen that mm-hmm. played every night. You know, and Bennett Vitas, I was able to go see Bennett and get on the ice with him a little bit this summer, and, you know, he's worked hard as he's always done, and, you know, he'll be making a push as well, but, it's a deep group. You know, we like it. Now, we need more from him. You mentioned Tyler Anderson, the progress he took last year. He's one of the guys that you worry about in the summer. You know, a lot of our kids are from major cities, whether it's a Detroit suburb, Vancouver, Toronto, Ruggiero out in New York. And, you know, they're exposed to elite trainers, elite talent to skate with, and that's pretty easy. Tyler's a smaller town kid, and he doesn't have it as easy to get that training, to get that gym time. And so, you know, he's going to make sure that he had a real committed summer and come in ready to play and build off the growth he showed last year. He's got all the ability in the world and in an unbelievable frame at 6'3", 6'4". We've been kind of building some of our teaching clips over the last couple of weeks. And again, watching him the way he finished the year, there's a lot of excitement to what he can do, but he's got to be ready. You know, he has to take a step. Will Rydell has to take a step. Lucas Keibel has to take a step. And, you know, but those guys can do it. Ruggiero attended Anaheim camp a few weeks back, and, you know, he'll be ready ready to play. He's had a great summer. Him and Will Rydell are doing some training together, both in New York and down south. And, you know, really excited. You know, that freshman group, you know, those guys are hockey players. There's not much distraction with them in terms of social life or other things. They're here to play hockey, get good grades, get a great education. But those guys are hockey players, and they'll be a big piece of what we're doing here, returning for their sophomore year.
Yeah, you got three newcomers there. You got Nordquist along with Oliver and Samandel. What does each of those guys bring? What's their strong point, and what do they need to work on?
Yeah, well Alex Samandel, you know, is coming in. He was one of the last signees there. You know, he's going to provide a real steady presence. He's another big body guy at 6'2", 6'3". He's got good skating and good mobility. He defends with a good stick, and he's more of a little bit, you know, a first pass type guy. He's going to make a good exit pass. He's got the skating ability to join the rush and add second wave offense as well. You know, but a little bit more of a steady player than the other guys. Jacob Nordquist is kind of an elite power play puck mover. Doesn't necessarily possess the big shot, but he's going to be able to move laterally well at the blue line. Tremendous vision. You know, real elite hockey IQ. He made a real good transition from Europe to North America last year, playing in a great league and small NHL sheets, and did a really good job. So we think his mobility, his puck movement, his hockey IQ, you know, he's a guy penciled in early on here that you would think he'd be, you know, a power play guy. Somewhere he's going to help run a power play, you know, in our heads. Now he's going to come in and earn it and beat some guys out and things like that. But that's the kind of ability he has. And then Mitch Oliver, you know, has some similarities to Jacob in terms of some of that puck movement, but he's also a great shot. He was the highest scoring defenseman in terms of goals scored in the BCHL last year, you know, was a captain for his team out there as well. And so Mitch can do a little bit of everything. He's got some bite and some snarl to his game, but a real dangerous shot. And that's an area, again, you know, we miss Lucas and Colin Sackerman for 7 to 8 weeks, each of those guys. But we've got to get more offense from our back end and try to bring some guys in who can do that.
All righty. Sounds good. Things looking up. The Lakers are going to have 8-9 defensemen fighting for position, and that'll make for an interesting preseason, not to mention the first half. Speaking of the first half, we're out of time for the first half of this show. This show goes by in a hurry. We're going to take a break. We'll hear from our sponsors, and Damon and I will be right back with more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation, but did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success in 2017-18.
Hi, this is Scott from Parker Ace Hardware. At Ace, we make painting a simple pleasure. Ask one of our friendly, knowledgeable Ace associates about our Ace Royal Paint, a high-quality paint at a price you'll love. You'll find Ace Royal Paint starting at an everyday low price of just $19.99 a gallon. It's another reason why, from a simple start to a fabulous finish, Parker Ace can help make your next painting project perfect. Parker Ace, the helpful place. Stop by Parker Ace Hardware. We're looking forward to serving you real soon.
Stop by Parker Ace Hardware at 819 Ashman, downtown Sioux, Michigan.
And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
All right, welcome back to Laker Hockey Talk on a Thursday morning. And don't forget, this program is podcast. You can listen to it at your leisure anytime you want by just tuning in to Sovereign Communications or the Laker website and linking to the podcast. You know, we've talked about this before, Damon, but and we just mentioned the defensemen, but you've got a lot of returnees coming back, and I'm not sure if everybody's back, but I count 12 forwards returning, unless somebody's decided he's not coming back, and you can tell us about that. But you're led by Diego Cuglietta, Gage Terrell, and Anthony Nellis. They'll be your captains this year, and I think they're great choices for captain. They're good leadership people, and they're seniors now, and you got a lot of other good players returning as well. Max Humitz, a good goal scorer, is back this year. year. Hampus Erickson really came on as the season went on last year. Braden Gelsinger's never come to be what we thought he might be right out of the gate, but he's still got great skill, good skater, could be a really good player. And he's a junior now. And Brian Basilico back, Chase Gamlin. You got some players here, and it's going to be interesting because you're going to bring five guys in to join them.
Yeah, no, it is. It's, again, our deepest group by far in our time here. You know, some years we've kind of struggled to maybe pull a guy out who has a chance to impact the game offensively, but might not be playing the right way, or, you know, even playing through an injury, because we've just lacked some of that depth. So I think it's going to be a real good group. And as you mentioned, led by those three seniors, there'll be three of our highest scoring players over the last 10 or 15 years of the program. Each of those guys with a great year will have a chance to join the 100-point club, and that hasn't been done in, I think, I don't know, 10 or 12 years. So real impactful players. Gage is going to wear a C. Gage Terrell will wear a C along with Diego Cuglietta, a little bit different, but we went two Cs this year, assisted by two A's with Anthony Nellis, the last senior forward, and Colin Sockerman on the back end. So a good leadership group, good players. You know, I thought Anthony Nellis was probably our best player down the stretch run. He just was playing at a different level. Diego's really been Diego all 3 years. You know what you're getting every single night. He's going to work, compete. You know, I think in some ways we might try to find a way to take a couple minutes off him, because he's had to do so much over the last couple years, and he's so valuable in so many ways. But with better depth, we might be able to drop him by a minute or two, a minute and a half, and you know, have him play at a little bit higher tempo consistently instead of using him in so many critical situations, both special teams and five on five. And again, Gage has been that guy, you know, pretty much his whole career as well. You know, maybe a slight tick off last year, but he's got a capability to have a big year, and we expect big things. They're going to have a good supporting cast, as you mentioned. I think Braden Gelsinger is a guy. He battled through some injuries last year. If he can stay healthy for the first time, you know, a real bright season ahead of him. Max Humich has been really consistent in his time here, and we're looking for a big year. Brian Basilico was a guy late last year and through the spring training, both in the gym and some of the skill work we did, took a real positive step forward. And, you know, Chase Gamlin, I thought, gave us a lot of quality minutes, you know, as we're looking to try to build a complete team. He's going to be more of a third, fourth line kind of a role, but that's okay. There's a ton of value in what he brings in terms of puck decisions and physicality. He's a real good skater, and when he plays heavy and hard, he can add a lot of valuable minutes to us. So, yeah, very, very competitive. I know we're missing a couple. You mentioned Hampus. I thought Hampus, you know, a very consistent year. He was very good really all year long, but I think there's a lot more offense that Hampus can give as well with his frame and his reach. And, you know, if he pops a little bit and maybe doubles his points, you know, I'd be worried that we might lose him to an NHL contract. But, you know, that'd be good. If you can have a big year like that and he's over ready, we'd be happy to assist him in that.
Yeah, we may as well mention them all, too. We got Ian Johnson. I think he's back this year. And Alex Ambrosio, who came in last year and did a good job. He was especially effective as a faceoff man. Brendan McKay, who gives you everything he's got every time he's on the ice, and he adds some physical presence as well. And then guy we haven't mentioned is Yuki Miura. We talked about him last show in July about how he could really break loose this year. He's a very good player. And again, you look at this Laker lineup, three Swedes in there, a Japanese player, a Latvian, a Slovakian, and a player out of Germany. It's incredible, the international flavor of this lineup.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's, like I said, it's really changed. I mean, obviously, you can go back to the Red Wings, you know, those great years with the Russian Five and Lidstrom and Holmstrom, some of those guys. Obviously, North America hockey has made some adjustments, and Scotty Bowman and the work he's did has been a part of that. But that, you know, you see it at all levels. When you go watch a game in the North American League, when you go to the USHL, there's a real heavy European and import influence there. And, you know, I guess in some ways we've been on the front edge of that. There's a lot of other schools that are doing that. But, you know, we've certainly tried to find a way to grab those guys. It's a lot of work dealing with their transcripts you know, translations and the NCAA clearinghouse. But, you know, I think it adds a lot of value to our locker room and on the ice. You know, Yuki had a great experience in the spring there to go represent his country with the Japanese national team. Roman Kevin Banger, those of you who don't know, is also a dual citizen. He was he's Japanese Canadian and spent most of his life growing up in Canada. But he actually just flew over and went to a Japanese national camp with Yuki as well. So it's a good experience for Roman as well, especially coming off a year where the NCAA made him sit out a year. So Roman will be coming in, and maybe a little bit ahead of some guys because he was just in a pretty competitive situation. But you mentioned those guys, Brendan McKay's like Chase, he can help us in some situations. It's going to be up on him to earn more and to come in and show the value he can bring on a daily basis with his strength, with his compete and the role he plays. Ian Johnson's a guy that, can provide some things. He scored one of the nicest goals of the year last year against Arizona. A real high skill set, and we're asking him to be a little bit stronger, a little bit heavier in his approach and his play. Yuki finally got cleared and healthy, and we went on a great streak, and he was a big part. He hadn't played a game all year, second year in North America, and in a big jump out of junior hockey to college hockey, he stepped in with Diego on the top line, or one of our top lines, and was a real impactful player going in to play Michigan Tech and Bemidji and on the road. So Mike and I have talked a little bit about special teams lately and looking at some power play options, and again we've got options that we've never had. There's gonna be some guys that have gotten a lot of power play time in their time here that might not have it this year, or we've got to find some ways to get some guys some looks. And there's guys like Owen Guy and Pete Viette coming in that were high-end scorers out of their respective leagues. Ashton Calder, he's a power play guy, he's a goal scorer, he's been a point guy everywhere he's gone, and in our eyes we've got to find ways to get them serious looks and see if they're better options to help our special teams and 5-on-5. So real good competition throughout, and I think as coaches that makes you really excited.
Yeah, and adding to the depth up front now, a couple of others we didn't really mention this month, but we talked about last month, Melvin Carlson out of Sweden, a kid who's never played in North America. He's going to come in here straight out of Sweden, never having been to the United States before, at least not at any length of time. And then the other one is Miroslav Muka, who played last year, I think, in the North American Hockey League, but a pretty high skill player, and they're going to press a lot of the guys who are back here that we just mentioned, the veterans, for some time to play.
Yeah, and again, I think I'll mention those guys briefly. Miro, as you mentioned, played in Minot in the North American League. He was the second highest goal. I think he had 33 goals or right around there to finish the year, and was second in the league in goals scored. And it wasn't a real high scoring team in Minot, so he did a lot of that without some support or help. So we want to score more naturally, and Miro does that. And Melvin Carlson, similar. He's a big Swede. He's got a heaviness to his game, but a great shot. Can play a little bit of a wing role or a center role and bring some versatility in there. And, those guys, again, they can play. They can help improve our team. Mike and I spent early last week going around the locker room and kind of looking at locker room assignments. Every year, you kind of shuffle your room a little bit and try to put guys in certain places, and maybe some freshmen with some upperclassmen who can kind of show them the right way to do things and the way we go about our business as Laker hockey players. And, we spent some time, maybe matching up, putting Melvin Carlson next to Hampus Eriksson. So there's a little bit of a language barrier he can help with at times. Same thing with Pete Viette being next to Anthony Nellis. Those guys are both English as second language guys, with French being their native tongues. It is a little bit of a different dynamic there. We want to be careful we don't isolate some guys with that. But we also thought there'd be some value. Maybe a month or two into it, when those guys are a little bit more comfortable in there, we might make some adjustments, but that's a big piece of it. I think our chemistry, again, has got a chance to be really, really good. We've worked hard with our guys to open up the lines of communication, to take more ownership within the team. We got a good base of that going in the spring, and the second, third back as a team. We're going to work real hard to establish that team leadership within, and again, just having a little bit more communication, a tighter knit bunch throughout our team. And, I think the guys feel that. Actually, Zach mentioned the other day, we talked, I think yesterday it was, and he just mentioned talking to the guys, they feel like chemistry's in a really good spot. There's a lot of excitement for the guys to return, and a real healthy feeling amongst our team.
Yeah, and that's so important. I think sometimes we forget these guys pretty much live together here. This is something they do for the entire year, the school year. They live together away from the rink. They're with each other. And the culture in the dressing room is so important. And I know I can see by what you're talking about right now that that's important to you, too. You want to make sure that this has the best opportunity, the best chance to really be good.
Yeah, and it changes when you put that first lineup up, the Thursday before Merrimack. You put the traveling roster up. That's going to be the first time some guys have not made a trip or, disappointed they couldn't do it. And so you see some true colors come out then. I think as a head coach, there's a lot of ways I have to do a lot better job, of instilling that culture on a daily basis and making sure we have a team that believes in itself and trusts each other. And we want to make sure we're standing together as a group in there. So again, we made some good strides. Part of that will be addressed by what we do. I think part of that, you naturally change when you lose guys out of your locker room. Your room changes, obviously, and so again, I think our leadership group are our best players, and we're not sure we've had that the last few years where some of our leaders have not been in the lineup regularly or playing major roles. That should not be a concern for us this year. And I think when you look at great teams, Steve Yzerman was the best player on his team, but a great leader. And you go around and around, Jonathan Toews, and not only is he a great leader, but he's one of the best players. And I think that's really important that, your leadership group can not only stand up and grab command or make a statement, but then they can step on the ice and back it up with the way they play, the way they perform. And so I think we're excited that we have that in spades this year. And, we maybe have lacked some of that in past years.
Yeah, and it's just so important to a team that they be a team. You can't have five or six guys who are on their own agenda or unhappy with their lot in life and making everybody else miserable by how they react to certain situations. So you got to have a great culture. I know the Lakers in their heyday, 88, 92, 93, 94, they were tight, and there was no problem in that dressing room, and they took care of it if there was.
Yeah, and that's exactly what you want. Obviously, we're here when an issue needs to come to my level or to an assistant coach. That's obviously part of our job, is to help our guys handle those situations. But on a great team, just like you said, Bill, it's handled internally. The seniors have control. The captains have control. They can grab somebody. They can make a statement. Guys will follow them if they're doing the right thing. So on great teams, I think that does come within, and I think we have a chance to do that this year with this group.
All righty. Sounds good. We're out of time here. Tell you what, this is the fastest half hour or so in radio. And Damon, I appreciate you being here. This is our August show. We'll have one more monthly program in September. We'll talk at length then about Merrimack and about getting ready and training camp and captain's practices and all that sort of thing. But thanks for doing this, and good job. I think Zach Sizek's going to be really good.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. It's great coming and talking. I know, check the social media for those of you who are on that. We're going to have a Laker launch event to come meet the team, skate with the guys, dunk tank, all that kind of good stuff before too long. We're just kind of finalizing some plans and some dates on that, but we'll be around. It's almost here, and you hate to wish away this beautiful weather that we've had lately, but I can't wait. We're really excited, so great to be on, and have a great Thursday out there. Thank you.
All righty, Damon Whitten, Bill Crawford, it's Laker Hockey Talk, another edition, the one for August. We'll be back in September, and then we'll get the weekly show going when we get into the month of October. We do open at Merrimack out in Massachusetts on the 6th and 7th, a Saturday and a Sunday in the month of October. And it's right around the corner, everybody. That's another Laker Hockey Talk. Until next time, Bill Crawford, so long on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400, brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. Join us again soon for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.